able to hire an editor, a couple of editors actually, and formatter and be able to self-publish it. And so the idea was that it was first going to be just a collection of all these essays that I've written, many of which have been published in other publications, but then the editors urged me to create more of a through line, so it's more of a memoir, and it's a set of three stories each, hence the trilogies. And the stories are centered around my identity, around each of my family members, and also about Taiwan, of all things, because of my connection as a Taiwanese American there.
So I'm frequently asked this, being of mixed race myself, but can you explain the title of your...
What are you?
Yeah,
well, see, I think that you probably are asked that quite often, and it's that question that you are asked that you have to ponder a lot of times. So I write a little bit of sort of fun dialogue about that and all the what happens afterwards when you say what you are. You get a lot of interrogations. I call them interrogations about race. It's like, oh, you can't be this, but which side, which part? You know, is it your mom, your dad? You must take after them or this. And you get, it's almost like you have to defend yourself. It's like, no, I really am Asian. Yeah, I'm also white, you know. I'm also Taiwanese. I'm also, you know, Chinese. You know, I'm also all these other things. And you end up having to defend yourself. So I do it kind of a fun thing, and I end up calling myself Secret Asian Woman. So I'm Secret Asian Woman, and I have to break my cover a lot of times for people. And when I do, I get interrogated. And so I kind of throw it back, you know. I throw it back to, well, what are you, you know? Well, I'm just white. Well, not really. You know, there must have been some mixtures in there, right? Because you're Euro-American. So mm-hmm. let's investigate that. So I think the more people investigate their own heritage, and many people do. I mean, you know, the whole ancestry.com thing is big right now. So you can't tell me you don't, you know, investigate your own ancestry. And so there's a lot of mixtures you'd be surprised by if you go back, you know, not too far, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you deal with it?
It's kind of tough. I try to come up... Well, one way I identify myself is I look for, like, one label, I guess, to use. And it's tough. I've been having this conversation for years and years, and recently I had a chance to talk about it on another show. But...
Well, it's a difficult one, and it's changed through the years. I'm a bit older than you, so in my book, I go through like four different decades mm-hmm. of how it's changed from being a collection of halves, you know, I'm half this, half that, to being something like Amer Asian, which I thought, well, that might be cool to try. And then I went through, you know, the whole Asian American hyphen experience, mm-hmm. you know, hyphen this, hyphen that. And then I happened upon this word, hapa. Somebody said that to me, which is a Hawaiian term or Hawaiian word for half, which sounded kind of cool. You know, it wasn't like a hyphen. It wasn't like a half. Since then, I use it sparingly because I know a lot of Hawaiians have issues about that word, you know. So but it is the only one that's kind of happy you know to me and freeing. And then, you know, lately it's been multiracial, biracial, and then mixed race. And so I had some issues about mixed race for a while, and a lot of times, you know, a lot of people don't have to think about this as much, but when you are a mixture of races, you do think about it a lot. And so my identity and what I call myself often changes depending on the situation too.
Do you think you'll be settling on mixed race for some time, or do you think it's
I actually go by mixed race, I'll go by biracial, I'll go by Asian American, just plain Asian American, you know, because what the heck, you know, I don't think that you have to dissect yourself. If that's what you want to call yourself, that's what you are, right? Mm-hmm. So it just depends. It really does. You know, if I'm with a group of mixed race people, yeah, I'm mixed race, you know?
So
and
you're
we
not,
can talk about our mixtures, you know?
You're not averse to using hyphens then?
No, not at all. I mean, I think it's great to have some names that aren't derogatory, frankly, because I remember those times. You know, and even people who of my generation who, you know, were mixtures of races, we actually have this guilty pleasure of listening to Half-Breed by Cher. You know, it's a derogatory name, totally derogatory. But that was the only time that anybody even addressed mixed race at the time. So you go through all these different stages and different changes through the years. And I think that it'll continue evolving. And that's what I always leave with. Even with, you know, my book, I just go, you know, it'll keep changing. And as identity changes, what's exciting, though, there's going to be more of us, you know, in the future. And it's interesting, though, like if you go through some of the stats on it, the Pew Research did a study on it, and 60% of mixed race people were proud of their identity, but 50%, this is as of 2015, did encounter some form of derogatory or racist, you know, name calling or behavior or attitudes towards them, and they experienced that. So it needs to keep changing, doesn't it? It needs to keep evolving.
Sure. Yeah. And so since you refer to yourself as secret Asian woman, kind of half in jest, does that identity and does your appearance physically allow you to sort of blend into the...
Ooh, I don't like that word blend,
okay.
You know?
What do you like?
Well, no, I understand it perfectly. What I feel like is I get taken for white, okay? And I'm assumed to be white until I say I'm Asian. And then... It's not so much now. I think there's a little bit more acceptance depending on who you're talking with and what group. I mean, I'm pretty diverse in who I, you know, different communities that I interact with. And even within Asian American communities or Asian communities, there's still this thing of, no, you're not. So you kind of get, if you're a mixed race person, you kind of get, I guess, bias from any side, even within your own family and, you know, own family members. A lot of mixed race people joke about their racist grandmothers, you know, you know, because we all have had that experience where, you know, they were not accepting of our parents, you know, whichever parents. And I even remember my grandparents who lived in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. My dad's side of the family were Okies, right? My grandma would pointed out to me the woman my dad could have married at the family reunion. She's like, there's the one, Jack, you know, that's the one that your dad should have married. And it's like, Grandma, I'm standing right here, you know, and my mother's right over there, you know. So you deal with that kind of stuff. I laugh about it now, but it's very hurtful, mm-hmm. you know. Of course, you know, true comedy, you know, comes from a source of pain and how we can deal with it.
Have you identified as being mixed race, and were you able to like actually process that your whole life? Like when you were younger, how did you
not
see
really
yourself?
Not until adulthood? Because when I say secret Asian because when I was in high school, I grew up in Junction City, Oregon, which is a half hour outside of Eugene. It was a very small town of about 2,000 people who were mostly Scandinavian descendants of pioneers, you know, who traveled there in all irony, to find more freedom and independence and not be ostracized. And what as the only interracial family, we were ostracized and we were isolated. And so I did want to pass at that time because I was in high school. And I just, you know, when you're a teenager, you're dealing with a lot of stuff and you don't really think about it. It wasn't until college when I started meeting other people and being able to talk about it more and read about it and interact with people who, you know, could be mentors. That's when it started to change. And I think that happens with a lot of mixed race people. I think that when you're going through adolescence, you don't really want to stand out, you know?
Sure.
So you just kind of wait until you can talk about it at another time. This may not be as true anymore, but I have a feeling in Oregon it probably is.
Mm-hmm. And I guess this depends a little bit on whether you were successful in being able to pass as white. But I know growing up for me, and obviously it was different times, but I passed as white pretty successfully, and I was able to bear witness to a lot of conversations as like sort of a fly on
yes,
the wall.
Yes, and I write about that too because that's exactly the experience. You are taken to be one of us, and then you hear the most racist things about people. You do. You know, people just come out and they wouldn't say it to a person that they view as a person of color. But they definitely said it around us. And when you come out and say, well, wait a second, you know, that was not cool, what you just said, then that's where I get the secret Asian woman coming out of my cover, you know, from undercover, because I'm looked at as some kind of spy. You know, how long have you been listening to us? long enough, obviously. So yeah, you do get that. You do get that a lot. And so I, even though I could pass for white if I wanted to, I don't. I say it every day to anybody, to everybody. But I have witnessed my mother and my brother endure great extremes of racism and prejudice. And it is, I don't know, I don't think it's more difficult, but it is difficult to bear witness to that. It makes me more mission-oriented in all my work. Whatever I do, whether it's writing or theater or radio, I definitely, that is on the forefront, dealing with the race issues and how we, you know, communicate to each other and how we treat each other is definitely on the forefront of my work.
So can you talk more about being mixed race? I guess specifically in Oregon and in Portland, I know it's kind of difficult sometimes to find community to identify with because, you know, you're not necessarily always looking along racial lines. You're kind of, you have this shared identity with other mixed race individuals who aren't necessarily sharing that common heritage.
Well, I think for me, because I came from a place like, it's almost like a desert where I didn't have anybody, you know, except my immediate family to identify with. It's actually a good time because I can find mixed race people, if not in my near vicinity and in my communities, online, you know, and on Facebook. And even though, you know, people say, oh, social media is not the great place for interaction, it really is when you're talking about commonalities of race. And I find so many groups that I belong with that we have this shared experience and we can support each other that way. As far as locally, I think that there are people, but again, you have to connect, you know, you have to go to certain places and be with certain people. It's, I think there's great wealth here of diversity if we allow ourselves to be part of the communities that exist here. You know, I'm often told, oh, you know, it's so white, you can't meet any people. And I'm like, no, you're just not trying, you know, you're just not trying and you're not allowing yourself to experience people in different places, you know, and in different situations.
So we're running a little bit short on time. I just want to ask you what your larger plan is with reading and the memoir. And do you have a sort of I guess a social justice lens that you're going to adopt.
Totally social justice lens, because it is my mission, especially when it comes to issues of race and culture. And I just don't know, you know, what else to focus on. So for me, a lot of my writing has been about mixed race and about identity and about, you know, not just, you know, through my family relationships. So my plan for the book is just to keep going and doing more readings. But I'm also been chosen to be one of the conversation project leaders for Oregon Humanities. And my topic just happens to be, what are you, you know, mixed race in Oregon? And so hopefully people will, you know, log on to Oregon Humanities. They can request to have me be a conversation leader and I can get other people talking about it. And I'd love to do it for a mixed race group. If anybody's listening and wants that, you just go to Oregon Humanities, or I think it's OR, Oregon Humanities. Just look it up. Google it. It's there. Or hum.org or something, OregonHumanities.org. But I want to do another shout out. I will be at another read through bookstore this Thursday, September 1st, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And that's located at 3932 North Mississippi Avenue. And I hope to see you there.
Awesome. Yeah, one final question. I'm really curious as to who did you have in mind when you wrote the book, and who would you like to see show up at the event? Or, you know, do you have any expectation?
Oh, well, I hope a lot of people of all different races come to my event, because I really want them actually talking to each other a little bit, you know, and meeting each other. So you could consider it a mixed race meetup if you want. That'd be awesome. But I just want to share my experiences with people. And a lot of my other readings have focused more on my relationships with my family. But this reading will be focused on the experience of being mixed race in Oregon.
Well, thank you so much, DMA, for
taking the time to come
in and talk about your work.
And it's so great to meet you, Kanan.
Yeah, likewise.
And so I hope you have a good answer for people when they ask you, what are you?
It changes all the time. And if I'm in a bad mood, it's a little bit short.
Well, turn it around on them. So that's my advice to you.
Thanks. That was Dee Mae Roberts. Her new book is The Letting Go Trilogy, Stories of a Mixed Race Family. Her talk is Thursday, September 1st from 6 to 8 p.m.
Oh, 7 to 8.
7 to 8. Thank you. So much misinformation here. At another read-through bookstore. Find it online at www.dmayroberts.com. That's DMAEROBERTS.com.
And also another read-through.com, too.
Oh, thank you. Store, another read-through, all one word.
This program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair-accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net.
This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is KABU.